It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your
Let's
hosts,
talk about Super Bowl 46.
John Schmelk and Michael Eisen.
Johnny Schmuck, Michael Eisen, Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. All right, Mike, we're about, 15 days away from the NFL Draft, which comes your way on April 26th at Radio City Music Hall, always an exciting time. And this is when the NFL kind of goes a little silent. And you hear some rumors about who's going to draft who. Free agency is kind of wound down a little bit. Teams are biding their time, simply waiting for whether or not, you know, who we're going to draft. Then maybe we'll add somebody a little bit later on. And that's what's happening now. All the scouts are slowly coming into town. They're having their draft meetings. They're putting their big board together. And this is when teams are kind of laying in the weeds and figuring out what's going to happen in the next 15 days.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be much other than the release of the schedule probably next week. Much is going to happen around the NFL for the next 15 days until the draft. As you said, John, I think teams we may get a signing or two when teams think they can grab somebody for a bargain or fill a need. But basically, everyone's going to wait for the draft now, see what they pick up in the draft, and then fill in after the draft.
And I should point this out, there is a rumor flying around about a potential Giants trade on the internet this morning. There is no news to report on that front. As far as Mike and I are concerned, that is nothing more than a rumor, and there is no teeth to it.
I have no doubt it won't be the last rumor.
Yes, but I thought we should at least bring that up, because I'm sure Giant fans, you know, the rumor regarding Keith Rivers, people saw that this morning. Everyone's getting all up in arms, you know, Giants linebacker. But I will touch on, just since that got brought up in the papers this morning, Mike, I will bring up the Giants linebacker situation, which is somewhat in flux. But really, the one place they don't need help is weak side linebacker, because that's where they really they have their two best linebackers, Michael Boley and Jaquan Williams. Depending on where you count Kiwanuka, obviously.
Yeah, unless they have to move perhaps Michael Boley to the middle. But, you know, it's all about stockpiling the best players you can get, as many good players as you can get. That's what the Giants have done in the past. And, you know, I still think, you know, in the first couple of rounds, it's not going to be so much based on need. It's going to be based on the best grade on the draft board.
Yeah, no question about it. And let's talk about the draft here coming up. And me and you joked last year when the Giants were picking much earlier in the draft, at 19 last year, if I recall, that there's no way to know who the Giants are going to take because nobody knows who's going to be on the board.
Right.
Nobody had the Giants selecting Prince Amukamara because everyone had him off the board around to pick 11 or 12. So this year at 32, impossible.
Right. There are two boards that are real mysteries. There's a draft board on the day of actual draft, and 31 players are going to be chosen before the Giants select, unless they happen to trade up. And the other is, which we won't know about, is the Giants draft board and how they rank players, because every year, players that are ranked highly or placed high in these mock drafts, we find out later that the Giants, you know, didn't have them graded quite as high. Or players that were ranked lower, the Giants, you know, had graded higher. Every team has a completely different draft board. So we don't know what the Giants draft board looks like, especially right now, because it's not finalized yet. So there are so many between the actual draft and the Giants draft board, there are so many variables. It's impossible to pick a player who the Giants are going to pick.
I opened the show with this yesterday, and you hear all these people, oh, this team's looking to draft X, the Giants looking to draft Y. Don't pay attention.
Yeah.
The Giants don't even have their board done yet. They don't know who they're going to take. How the heck did this guy in the media know anything?
They haven't even started the draft meetings yet. So the Giants have to put together their board, and there'll still be a lot. There's so much activity that's going to happen in front of them. You just can't choose, can't predict with any accuracy. Now, you can make a selection, you can make a prediction, and if it could come true, but it's called luck. That's all it is.
And obviously, the, you know, you could talk about need for the Giants, which is, you know, very important. But more important is finding a player that will impact you. Because as you know, Mike, over the course of the year, whether it's injuries, movement, whatever the case might be, if you have a good player, you can find them time on the field. You'd rather draft a good player, let him, you know, maybe not play as much as first year and have him impact you 2 or 3 years down the road, than pick a player at a position in need that will never break into the starting lineup at all.
I'm sure I said this to you last year on one of our shows. The great George Young, the former general manager of the Giants, every year he would say prior to the draft, he'd have a news conference prior to the draft, and one of his most frequently repeated sayings was, you don't want to bring your depth chart into the draft room because you wind up picking a lesser player where you think you have a need or where you might have a need and ignoring a guy who is a potential Hall of Famer. Just pick the best players. Get good football players on your team. It'll all work out.
No question. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Doug is down in Virginia. Doug, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Hey, I'm great. I wanted to tell you that I caught your show yesterday, and I thought you did a great job explaining the way the draft should be run.
I appreciate that, Doug. Thank you.
I just wanted to mention that a couple of years ago, defensive end certainly wasn't the Giants' top need, and yet they took JPP, and I don't think anybody wants to throw him back right at the moment.
A perfect point.
Same thing with Kiwanuka. You know, when Kiwanuka was drafted as a defensive end, the Giants had Michael Strahan, Osei Umenyiur, and Justin Tuck, and no one wants to throw back Mathias Kiwanuka either. He's become a very valuable player, not always at defensive end, but he has become a very good player. It's you just want to get the best players, especially at a position like defensive lineman, where it seems you can never have enough good players.
Yeah, and I just wanted to talk about linebackers in the offensive line.
Sure.
Everybody's saying that the Giants are really weak at linebacker, and I think they've got a number of good young linebackers, and actually in another couple of years it might be a position of strength. People want the rookies to come right in and be all pros right away. Sometimes it takes them a couple of years to develop.
No question.
I don't know what you thought about that.
Well, I do think it's a big year for the four linebackers who were rookies last year, particularly a guy like, you know, Mark Herzlich, who had limited playing time last year. You know, he may have an opportunity. If nothing really changes in the middle, he's going to have an opportunity to show what he can do. Same with Greg Jones. Jaquan, as John pointed out, had a very good rookie year. Spencer Paysinger was a contributor on special teams. But you have to a lot of guys flash as rookies and then never really progress. You have to take the next step this year, and it's a big year for all four of those players, I think.
Yeah, I think there's possibilities for them.
Now, I still think we need a stud in the middle, and I still think we need some speed in the middle, but we'll see what happens.
I don't know if there's anybody like that in the draft.
There may not be.
And also on the offensive line, it's the same thing. We may not be willing to let these guys develop. I don't know how far along Brewer is, what the coaches think of Petras, and I'm sure they're not going to tell us what exactly is on their mind before the draft anyway.
Oh, no.
No, but they told Mike, and Mike's going to tell you. It's okay.
Yeah, right. Well, Petras, you know,
yeah,
Petras did get a little playing time.
Yeah,
Petras did get a little playing time, you know, last year. Look, Kevin Booth was the starter at the end of the year. He was a starter in the Super Bowl, and he's still a relatively young player, and this is a guy who always seems to fly under the radar, you know, when – people, Giants fans talk about the offensive line. It's like he never gets mentioned. But, I mean, he was a starting left guard at the end of the year. And he was a good player. He is a good player.
I thought so, too.
So, I mean, he's right in the mix.
Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Okay.
Hey, appreciate it, Doug. And, yeah, Kevin Booth, as you mentioned, Mike, he's a valuable guy as a swing player. And that's almost a deal where maybe the Giants would like to keep him as a reserve just because he's so valuable in that role. If you can find somebody to play ahead of him, you know, David Boss had some nagging injuries pretty much all year last year. That's a very valuable place for Kevin Booth to back up. But then again, if he's a starter or a guard, you can always just slide him to center perpetually guard anyway.
Yeah, I think that's what you do. You just get your best five. And you know, those guys, as you know, John, in practice, they play different positions, multiple positions. They're ready to go in at different spots. You get your best five out there to start, and then you substitute as needed.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And when you look at the draft here coming up, Mike, you know, we talked about the question marks, value. You know, guys had their pro days now. The combine's over. You take a look at everything they did during the college football season. You put everything together. And people like to consider this a science, and this is another thing I said yesterday. You can call it a science if you want. I almost like to call it very educated guesswork.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can do all the research you want and get as clear a picture of a guy as you possibly can, but you're never really going to know what you have until you get him in pads on the football field on Sunday in his first NFL game.
The only way it's not guesswork is if you can see into the future, and I don't know many people that can do that.
You can't do that?
I can on some things.
I was going to say, so why am I putting you on the show here?
Why are
Mike?
We here? What are we doing here? So, yeah, and especially as we keep harping on the Giants are picking 32nd in the first round and picking last in every round, I mean, you know, we'd like to do it every year because it would have meant we won the Super Bowl every year, but it's tough sledding down there. You have to wait a long time, and you just really have no idea who's going to be available.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about the schedule, too. By this time next
week...
Don't
wave that banana at me.
I'm sorry.
Getting a little nervous.
By this time next week, this is my like mid-morning snack here. It's a nice-looking banana. We should have an idea of what the NFL schedule is going to look like. The NFL hasn't announced it yet. I don't think what day it's coming out, but ESPN has a special draft day
everyone
program.
Everyone seems to think it's going to be Tuesday the 17th.
Next Tuesday night. So unless ESPN is wrong or they screwed up their schedule on DirecTV or Verizon Fire, so whatever. That's when we theoretically will get the NFL schedule. Obviously, we already know when the Giants play their first game on that Wednesday to open up the season against the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously, a huge division game to start the year. Very exciting. You figure the Giants are going to probably have five scheduled primetime games coming up this year, and they usually like to leave that sixth open for a potential flex.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you think the Giants are going to go for their other primetime games?
Oh, gosh. It's so hard to, I would be...
Usually you'll get one Eagles in there, right?
Yeah, I would. You know, wouldn't surprise me if the trip to San Francisco was a primetime game, which
please.
I don't want to
call somebody, Mike. Do. Fix that, please.
You know, I always think there's going to be like a Cincinnati or an Atlanta. You know, I think what you have to look at, obviously, after the division foes, you know, the Giants will be playing the three NFC teams they beat in the playoffs last year: Atlanta, San Francisco, Green Bay. Obviously, those are all potential primetime games. And, you know,
I forgot about Atlanta. They're going to be in the schedule, too.
Yeah, you get a game, Cincinnati, you know, a trip to Cincinnati. That was a playoff team. It's a way to get the Bengals in a primetime game. So there are so many possibilities. You know,
Thanksgiving's a possibility,
Thanksgiving,
too.
As we discussed, is a possibility.
Another one, please. Call the league. Make that not happen.
Yeah, which since we're playing a Wednesday night game, I doubt we'd play a Thursday night game. You know, the thing I'm thinking about is looking at the end of the schedule. You know, obviously we open at home with the Cowboys, and the NFL likes to have division teams playing each other at the end of the year, so I would suspect Week 17 we'll be on the road in a division game. Last year, we opened on the road in Washington and closed at home in Dallas, so if we're opening, you got to figure we're going to open at home against a division foe. You got to figure we'll be Washington, Philly, or Dallas in Week 17.
That smells like the Eagles to me. It really does.
Yeah, we've ended seasons since the NFL began putting division teams against each other. In Week 17, we finished against Washington, Dallas. We have not played a Week 17 game against the Eagles. So if I had to guess, and I've learned in all my years in doing this, you can guess. It's very hard to guess right when it comes to the schedule, but I would guess that we will end the season in Philadelphia in 2012.
Very interesting. Now, we have the opener on the Wednesday. We still have to have one of the Thursday night game on the schedule, right?
Thursday night, yeah.
So that could be Thanksgiving. It could be another game. We don't know. This year, I believe the Sunday around Christmas is the day after Christmas. Is that correct? I'm trying to remember. I can actually check that right now. But that's always interesting how the NFL, they try to make it fair on the teams, or they don't make teams travel on the holidays, you know, multiple years in a row. And, you know, things of that nature. The Giants played in Denver on Thanksgiving a few years ago. You wonder if they'll make them travel again on the holiday in such short notice. Christmas is on a Tuesday this year, December 25th, so the Giants will play, and teams will play on the 23rd, which is really no effect on the holiday then.
Right. Well, ideally you don't want teams traveling far on holidays, but
Somebody has to do it.
Ratings supersedes everything. Whatever's going to be.
Really, Mike?
Good matchup.
Are you telling me ratings and TV money counts a lot in the NFL?
You know, another potential, you know, potential to me Thursday night game late season is the Steelers at the Giants. You know, that would be a game that would influence the playoff race in both conferences, probably attract a large audience. So that's another, I think, possibility for a night game. There are very few. There are more possibilities for night games for the Giants than there are
not possibilities.
And then having said that, now the schedule will be released, and watch, the Cleveland Browns game will be at night.
Or the Bucks.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, those are the only – if you want to look at the schedule and say, boy, nobody cares about these games, the only two you could really find are the Browns and the Bucks. And you really can't throw the Redskins in there either, because the Redskins beat the Giants twice last year.
Right.
So that all of a sudden is a life and death game.
And the Redskins are probably going to have RG3, so
yeah, you're right.
He's going to be – people are going to want to watch him.
And a lot of people think he'll be even better than Cam Newton was in his rookie year, and same for Andrew Luck. That those two guys
and
are more enough
already.
We also
have Cam Newton on our schedule, by the way.
Boy.
So – yeah, I would think the only the two teams you think are not likely to be playoff contenders or aren't expected to be playoff contenders who don't really have marquee players at this point are the Bucks and the Browns. But again, that could change in the draft. Who knows?
Boy, we thought last year's schedule was tough, Mike. This is good. I mean, there's not going to be 1 week where the team can take a deep breath.
No. Well, the bye week.
Well, yeah. And we'll see where that is. Teams always want bye week between weeks 8 and 10.
Yeah.
Last couple years, Giants have been okay with it, but they had a stretch there for about 3 years in a row. They had a week 4 bye week, week 3 bye week. And if I recall, Coach Coughlin was not too thrilled about having those early bye weeks.
No, he likes the bye week later. Later the better for him. But, you know, with these Thursday games, everyone's going to have a built-in semi-bye week now.
That's a good point.
Everyone, so, you know, you're almost better off playing a Thursday game late in the year because, you know, it's like Dallas every year getting that 10-day break after Thanksgiving. You know, you get a 10-day break like that late in the year, it can be very beneficial.
Has it helped Dallas much with their December record, though, last few years?
It hasn't. In theory, it's supposed to be good. They always say it's good to have a break like that late in the year, but they haven't taken advantage of it.
I want to touch on a couple of things around the league before we say goodbye, Mike. Bill Parcells apparently is not going to make his return and be the interim head coach of the Saints if Chris Mortensen's reports on ESPN are to be believed. What do you think? If assuming the Saints, of course, did in fact offer him the opportunity to do it, which my gut feeling tells me they did because it seems to make sense for them, why do you think Parcells decided not to do it?
I think there were published reports that the coaches now on the staff at New Orleans did not want him there.
Okay.
And I think, you know, that would influence him. I think that would have made his job very hard, you know, much harder. I just think it's a tough situation, you know, to go into. You know, who knows what's going to happen? Drew Brees still isn't signed. You know, do you want you have a tendency to really enhance your legacy? You have a chance to tarnish your legacy. And I know he denies this, but I think the having to wait another 5 years for the Hall of Fame is a big factor. I really do.
And people think that he didn't get in on the first ballot because, you know, voters are almost annoyed at him because he always says, I'm going to retire, and then he comes back, and this might make that even worse. Who knows how long you'd have to wait.
Yeah, so I think, you know, obviously, with good reason, he wants to be in the Hall of Fame. And, you know,
well-deserving, too,
yes,
obviously.
Yeah, clearly. And if he would have, I think he should have gotten in this year. But if he was to coach in New Orleans this year, then that he's got to start a new five-year clock. So I think that was a big factor. And I just think there were too many potential pitfalls. You know, obviously everyone thinks, hey, Bill Parcells is going to walk in there and, you know, be the white knight. The other thing is he's going to be 71 years old when the season starts. And I know someone who talks to Bill Parcells who told Bill said to this person, you know, can I do this?
Can he survive the grind?
Can I do this? And, you know, that's pretty tough. So I just think there were far more negatives to me than there were positives.
See, now, where do they go now? Because the two other guys that you would consider that know Sean Payton well, they're also suspended for the first half of the season, Vitt. And I would think they wouldn't want to give it to a guy like Steve Spagnuolo. He's not familiar with how Sean Payton runs his system. He's really an outsider coming in for the first time. Yeah. So where do the Saints now go, do you think, for a possibility?
Well, it sounds like Vitt's going to run the team through the preseason until his suspension starts.
What a mess.
And then I guess
Drew Brees, head coach for 6 weeks.
Yeah, Carmichael, the offensive coordinator, my guess, will take over. You know, he'll run the offense. Spags will run the defense. Someone has to be designated to, you know, challenge calls and make the game management decisions.
And talk to the team on Saturday night,
yeah,
even, things
I
that.
Assume that'll be Carmichael. And then Vitt, I guess, takes over when he comes back. I mean, the players will know Vitt. He's been there a long time, and he's going to run the team in the offseason.
Interesting. Very interesting. And the Rams apparently, quote-unquote, finalized their coaching staff, and they haven't announced a replacement of defensive coordinator for Greg Williams.
Yeah, well, Jeff Fisher always said they were going to kind of do it by committee. You know, it's in a lot of ways, it's Jeff Fisher's defense. He's a defensive coach. I think Jeff Fisher will be the quasi-coordinator, and he'll parcel out certain tasks and duties to different defensive coaches.
Now, if you want to take a look at this now, where, you know, Greg Williams, for a second, I realize he has a great reputation, but if you've looked at his defenses over the past few years, even before he got to the Saints, blitzes all the time and all that stuff, his defensive numbers aren't exactly stellar in his last,
his
you know, five, six stops. I got to be honest.
His reputation has always far exceeded his results, I think.
I agree.
I mean, he's never really had. I don't know how many top 10 defenses he's had, if any. You know, he obviously had a Super Bowl winner in New Orleans. He helped, you know, them win. But that was, I think people look at that and say it was mostly Sean Payton and Drew Brees.
Yeah, you think?
You know, it was not a defensive team. It wasn't the 2000 Ravens winning the Super Bowl.
No. And it's a lot easier to take chances on defense and blitz and rush the passer and, you know, go nuts and zero coverage, all that stuff, when you know you have Drew Brees sitting there ready to drive right down the field for a touchdown.
They're going to score in 2 minutes anyway.
Yeah.
So, no, I always thought that Greg Williams was somewhat overrated as a defensive mastermind. His defenses have never, I thought, been that great.
What'd you think about listening to that audio tape? I'm assuming you did.
Yeah, it was, you know, you want to say, yeah, it was unbelievable. It's just incredible that any coach would do that. But after all the things we heard about Greg Williams prior to that, to me it was more like the cherry on the sundae kind of thing. It was, you know, everything I'd heard. Well, this was kind of the culmination. This is where it was all leading to, and this is the end now.
I thought the word, from my perspective, you know, when he says attack the head, I wonder sometimes if he means that figuratively as much as he means it actually physically. But the one thing that got me, and really, frankly, bothered me, when you say go after a guy's ACL.
Yeah, right.
That,
yeah,
I mean, you are ruining a guy's livelihood with that. That, I mean, that's wrong.
Yeah, you know, I think all coaches talk metaphorically about going for the head and the body will flat, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But when you sound like you deliberately want to hurt another player, that's really beyond the pale. You just can't do that. And I just wonder, you know, I don't think it will affect whether or not he has a chance to come back, you know, into the NFL at some point. As far as Roger Goodell, I don't think anything he could have done, you know, short of committing a crime, would make it any worse than Roger Goodell. I do think that tape maybe will make teams even more leery of hiring him now.
Well, I think they're also going to be more leery of letting people into your meeting rooms that aren't a member of your organization.
Well, yeah, but that was, you know, that was a special. That guy was there to do a documentary on Steve Gleason, the former Saint who has Lou Gehrig's disease, and that was just a very unusual set of circumstances. It was like a perfect storm there. They let him in the locker room to be with Steve Gleason, and this filmmaker decided to release, you know, the audio tape. He would have never been in the locker room without Steve Gleason. So.
It is
a meeting room, I should say.
And, you know, the other thing that people made a big deal about is how you want to test players' injuries. But, you know, quite frankly, not to be a cynic, I think pretty much every team in the league makes sure players know about prior injuries someone the other team might have. Look, this is a you know, to use the phrase, a social Darwinism type of league here. You know, if you know someone might be weak somewhere, you can attack the weakness. Not necessarily try to re-injure them, but you're going to be aware of what might be wrong and you might want to try to take advantage of it. That's no surprise to me.
Yeah. You know, as I said, I think it goes on all the time.
Right.
You know, opposing injury reports are a huge part of scouting report.
Oh, huge.
Huge. But, you know, there's a huge difference between making your team aware of injuries and telling your players to go attack a specific injury.
And reward a player
and
for doing
that. And reward a player for re-injuring another player.
All right, Mike, we appreciate it as always.
Right,
and we'll talk to you next week as we get closer to the draft.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yep. For Michael Eisen, I'm John Schmuck. Thank you for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. We're here every day from 10 to 10:30 right here on Giants.com. Draft is only 2 weeks away, folks. We're getting there. Should be a lot of fun. For Michael Eisen, I'm John Schmuck. We'll see you next time.